From wherever you may be tuning in, glad to have you listening. My name is Rich Sullivan, Sully, along with Rick Limpert, and we are here in this place every week at this time, and glad that you are tuned in from wherever you may be. Rick Limpert covers sports and technology and a number of other things based out of Atlanta. Rick Roswell, his handle on Twitter. And Rick, with the Winter Games going on, you have had Olympic responsibilities the past couple of weeks here.
Yeah, I've been churning out copy about technology in the Olympics here for the last 8 or 9 days. And so you had a solid intro there, and it's appropriate you said from wherever you may be, because no matter where you were, pretty much you've been able to watch the Winter Olympics full bore here for the last 8, 9 days, and it's been pretty fun. It's been interesting. These games, the Winter Olympics, different sports, it always intrigues people, and we're going to talk about that today a little bit.
You could not get me to do the skeleton, man. I do not want to go 80 miles an hour on a little piece of plastic head first down an ice slide. Perhaps we'll talk about that as we wrap up. But let's get to what you were just talking about, Rick, and that is the streaming of these Winter Games. Every Olympics, it's easier to consume them. How is that happening this particular Games?
Yeah, it gets better and better. And since you have, every 2 years for either a summer or a winter, or every 4 years, these games, specific games pop up, they have time kind of to plan out how people can watch the Olympics. So now with even without a cable connection, a satellite connection, with an internet connection, you can pretty much stream just about all the games, no matter where you are. In the U.S., YouTube has been all over at Comcast Xfinity. And then in other countries, the BBC, in UK, Eurosport as well, and places in Australia and just the Asian countries, with the internet connection, you've been able pretty much to watch most of the games for free.
And the coverage has been spectacular, really. A lot of the sports have been very interesting to consume, especially for me. Some of the figure skating, I think, has been awesome. And then the skeleton, which still blows my mind that people do that. Let's talk about the speeds, talking about going 80 miles an hour on an ice slide. The 5G wireless speeds are now in play at these games.
Yeah, they've been testing the 5G all over South Korea with the games here, Sully. Now, it's easy to watch the games, but it's going to get even better. Quicker speeds on our mobile devices will be happening soon in a number of years, maybe by the next summer games, with the 5G wireless speeds. They've been testing it. It's 1,000 times faster than kind of what we're using right now with the LTE. And this is going to change the broadcasting industry in ways maybe we don't even understand yet. So all the wireless providers testing out the 5G, and I've seen it in action live a couple times. It's pretty wild, and it's coming.
All right, let's talk about Lindsey Vonn. She has recovered from a broken arm and two ligament tears, making an incredible comeback. Saw a great piece on her and her relationship with her grandfather on NBC last night with Mike Tirico. But let's talk about something that she's found that's pretty impressive that's helping her, the TheraBand CLX.
Yeah, and I have something in common with Lindsey Vonn, Sully, because I use these bands and these loops as well. So while she didn't win a medal last night, she still has a couple events left, and really it's amazing she's able to compete at the high level with all the injuries she had. So a company called TheraBand has these ribbons or these bands that you can use for strengthening your body, strengthening your core, your arms, your legs, recovering from injury, preparing and warming up for your competitions. After you use them, you feel much better. There's no pain. There's no lasting feel of these bands as you're working out with them, and they provide a good workout all by themselves. So for $25, you get one of these bands, and you can really use it. It's very durable, and like I said, I use them as well.
Yeah, Rick, I am somebody who has a hard time stretching out, too, and just looking at some of the images here, this looks like it would be good for that as well.
I got one for you, Sully, so I want you to try this as well.
Awesome. Well, let's talk, too, about how NASA technology is helping predict snowfall at the 2018 Winter Games. We've seen not so much snow. Wind has more been the problem here, but how is NASA able to help out with weather prediction at the Olympics?
Yeah, weather has come into play for some of these events, and just a small change in the wind or the weather, so it can make a big difference. So they're using NASA satellites, NASA technology, to provide mountains or models for the mountains. And then they're partnering with agencies from all over the world to collect data and make predictions. So what happens in a mountain in one part of the world, a lot of times that will happen, days later in places like South Korea. So they're using this information, infrared, and they're using, like I said, nations from all over the world to to get the information for the skiers, the snowboarders, anyone on the mountain. So I found that pretty fascinating.
Yeah, thermal imaging is just pretty spectacular to look at, and knowing that those images came from way far above where we're standing is just fascinating when you think about it. I can be childlike in my contemplation of how incredible that actually is, and cool that that's getting in play to help some of our athletes stay safe and get some of these events off without a hitch. I know they had some problems with the skiing, the downhill, with some of these high winds. Speaking of skiing, let's talk about this robot ski challenge. Apparently the Olympians themselves are not the only ones going down the slopes in Pyeongchang. Tell us about the robots.
No, and in the picture I included, there's a headless robot going down the slopes as well, Sully. So this is kind of going on either before in conjunction with the games. The countries have set up a challenge on the adjacent slope. Korean students and tech organizations from around the world have been designing a robot that will go down a simple alpine ski course, and then they're kind of checking the results of this. So I'm going to make a bold prediction here, Sully. As they look to add more and more events to the Winter Games, I think at some point there's going to be a robot division where countries are going to design a robot either for skiing or skating or something, and there's going to be an actual Olympic competition where medals are awarded to teams with these robot challenges. So I think this is something to watch on the horizon.
I don't know, man. Maybe the robots are just going to get to a certain point and they're going to say, you know, we don't want to ski. We don't want to figure skate. We just want to sit and play chess instead.
Yeah, instead of eat Cheetos and enjoy the games as we're sitting there on our couches watching them too. But I think we had these robot challenges for years and years, and I kind of make light of it, but it's really something to watch, and they can test equipment with this these robots. There is some merit to it. And I think it's something that makes these winter sports safer for not only Olympians, but for us, the amateurs that go out and try some of these events as well. It's worth it.
Well, I know many people have been enjoying the games, Rick, and what draws me to the Olympics and ropes me in every 2 years to either the winter or the summer games are the fact that if you're able to look at them, strip away all the money and the politics and the sponsorships, what you're seeing are men and women who are competing for their countries, but also serving as ambassadors for them as well. And I think that that's one of the things that really draws me to it. And NBC, as usual, is doing a fantastic job presenting all of that.
Yeah, and I've really enjoyed the camera work at a lot of the events, the use of drones, the use of special cameras that keep up with the competitors that are on maybe rails or on wires. I think this Olympics, in particular with the Winter Games, it really allows them to shine with the excellent camera work and the sights and the sound. It's beautiful looking at these winter sports and NBC and the other people that cover it, photographers for whatever agency. They do a great job.
Well, Rick, the skeleton event is a high-speed course, basically a little a track, if you will, like you would do the bobsled, but it's single person, face down and face first on essentially a sled that is maybe half the size of your height at best. That's an Olympic sport that I don't ever want to do. What scares you the most when you watch these athletes doing their thing?
I don't know if I'm scared. I mean, I kind of trust these guys. They've trained their lives for these, but that half pipe is pretty wild, Sully. And you watch it, and Sean White makes it look easy, but there was a Japanese participant that broke his neck on it. There is danger involved. A lot of times we lose sight of that, but that half pipe snowboarding is wild.
Well, indeed it is. And when these athletes are able to complete these things and win gold and place, it's just astounding. To think about the skill that they have to do that and all the preparation that goes into it. And, of course, a lot of preparation goes into you and your work and your segment here with us, Rick, and I really do appreciate it. Always love talking with you each and every week, and great to talk about the games and some of the cool tech. Link to all the stuff that we talked about today right here on the page, and always good to catch up with you, my friend.
Love it, Sully. You always give me good ideas as well, and I love bouncing the ideas off of you, and we'll see what we come up with for next week.
All right, go USA.
You got it.